An estimated 42 million people around the globe are living with HIV/AIDS. In Uganda, a woman cares for her two grandchildren because their parents have both died from AIDS. In Iran, a young man struggles with the disease after becoming infected with a dirty syringe. And in Swaziland, a woman with AIDS can only counsel other patients to eat a balanced diet because there are no drugs available for treatment. December 1st marks World AIDS Day, a day set aside by the international community to call attention to the plight of millions of victims around the globe. In honor of World AIDS Day, Common Ground is devoting our entire program this week to the disease that knows no geographical or age boundaries.
We begin in Africa, where the HIV/AIDS pandemic has been the cause of almost unimaginable misery and death in much of the continent for the last two decades. Tens of millions have died from AIDS-related causes. Many millions more have been orphaned. In several southern African countries, at least one in five adults is HIV positive. Yet still persuading people to change their sexual behavior remains an uphill struggle, often not helped by political leaders unprepared to face the seriousness of the threat. Religion and tradition can also pose a significant challenge to AIDS prevention. Rupert Cook reports.
I think about the young boys and the young girls are not clever to use condoms. They don't like to use it because they say that when they use it, the pressure is not enough.
Do you use condoms yourself?
I know I must use it, because if I don't use it, I will die soon.
I met Jean-Christophe at a street-side stall in the center of Kinshasa, the capital of the Democratic Republic of the Congo. Along with the cigarettes and chewing gum, there were also piles of condoms for sale, though many of uncertain vintage, with the packaging faded and cracked from the sun. After 6 years of civil war, with an estimated 3 million dead in this nation of 70 million, accurate figures for HIV/AIDS prevalence are hard to come by. In Kinshasa, at least, most people to whom I spoke knew of the disease and the deadly consequences of infection. Yet, Jean-Christophe had identified a particularly acute challenge facing anti-AIDS campaigners throughout Africa, that of translating awareness into behavioural change. Mustapha Gay is a senior policy advisor with the UNDP's Special Initiative on HIV and AIDS.
If you don't look at the social contract, it's going to be difficult to overcome this epidemic. And here I'm just going to put an emphasis on the relationship between men and women. It's no longer okay that, you know, men go out, get drunk, have multiple sexual partners, infect many women, come back home, infect their wives, and then as a community we think this is okay. No, it's not okay.
Persuading people to make radical changes in the most intimate aspects of their behavior is hard enough. Often religious faith and deeply embedded tradition make it yet more difficult. In the Republic of Somaliland, in the north of what was until 1991 a united Somalia, its 3 million people have made impressive progress in building a relatively stable and democratic state. But in this overwhelmingly Muslim and conservative society, there are no condoms publicly for sale. In fact, condoms form no part of the government's official anti-AIDS policy. Yet public health specialists put Somaliland's sexually transmitted disease prevalence at around 30%. Dr. Hassan Ismail Yusuf is Somaliland's Minister for Health and Labour.
We are a Muslim country. We do not want to publicise the use of condoms. Abstinence is the best form. We do not want to encourage people to have illegal sex by using condoms. No, that's against our religion and against our culture. So that would be inappropriate.
Relying on abstinence and monogamy to the exclusion of condom use may be even more of a challenge in terms of changing people's behaviour. Yet in Chad, another highly traditional and predominantly Muslim country, where HIV/AIDS prevalence is currently estimated at around 7%, anti-AIDS campaigners have persuaded both Muslim and Christian religious leaders to promote condom use. Belu Malem Passarel is the president of an association for people living with HIV and AIDS, Fraternité Plus, based in N'Djamena, the capital of Chad. He's known that he's HIV positive for the last 5 years.
Oui, le silence, nous l'avons cassé parce que moi, personnellement, je suis chrétien.
Yes, we've broken the silence because, you see, personally, I'm Christian, and our group has broken the taboo of talking about AIDS. but it was difficult. We've worked with the religious leaders, both Christian and Muslim, but it was hard. Before, the Christians and Muslims didn't accept condoms, but now we've got them to understand the situation. For the moment, that acceptance is showing progress, but there still remains a lot to be done.
Despite the support of religious and political leaders, the rate of infection in Chad keeps on rising. Increasingly, as the pandemic continues to spread, some health specialists are pointing out that provision of confidential testing and widespread access to antiretroviral treatment throughout Africa may be almost as crucial in terms of prevention as awareness raising about the disease. Austin Davis is director of international humanitarian NGO Doctors Without Borders.
What happens in Africa? You get HIV, you don't know it. Then you start to get sick, you're stigmatized, you lose your job immediately. If you go for a test, everyone knows the results of the test. There's no confidentiality in testing. And there's nothing to offer. So you become stigmatized, you stay at home in a dark room, no one wants to see, your family's embarrassed, you go through tremendous pain, then you die.
For Common Ground, I'm Rupert Cook in N'Djamena, Chad.